And I count it an honor. And thank you so much for loving us, praying for us. So we love you. And we thank God for everything that He has done in your life and our lives. And please, like Pastor said, pray for us, because we go into a tougher place, and the city has 2 million folks. And it's a place that I met a missionary that's going to Haiti in Georgia. And he said that everybody, even his pastor, tell him to go to Haiti. He said, no way. I'm not going to Port-au-Prince, because Port-au-Prince is not the place that I can handle. But that's where we're going. I mean, that's where they have, like, you know, much crimes and things that happen. But I've been praying for like 4 years. I said, Lord, I mean, just open the door for us. Pastor Vish knows about it. And the door never opened. And the earthquake actually happened there. We were right there, but the door never opened. While we were up here, so we took a trip for like 6 days, and the Lord opened the door. And I had only one meeting in Port-au-Prince after I seen our church in the south. And then we had a meeting with 35 people. And now they have like a little bit more than 100 folks study every week. And it's a big blessing. And I really thank God for that. See, sometimes things that you cannot do with your presence, they can be done by prayer, you know, in fasting and then crying unto the Lord. The Lord will do them. And that's His will. I mean, for the people to get saved and for something different to be done. I don't know if I said that before. The Voodooists, they actually plant a Voodoo University there. And because of the Voodoo University, they're having a revival. Because, you know, in the third world countries, education is a god. So now they're saying, we have the lawyers, we have the doctors. So now, you little people, what are you waiting for? Now, people are flocking into the Voodoo Universities, I mean, to have big degrees of, you know, of black magic, whatever. So it's the thing is getting deeper and deeper and deeper into hell. So we hope that the Lord can really use us there to do something. We had an opportunity there in the south, like we had for 2 years. I was on television and radio for 2 years. I'd love to find even 6 months in Port-au-Prince, and that I think that will probably make a big difference. Because these folks, they do listen to the radio, they do watch television. So I know that probably would make a difference to help us build a school that we need to build. It's amazing. I was in Georgia in a church, and after I speak, one of the leaders of SCE program, and he came to me and said, you need a school? And I said, yes, sir. He said, I'll come to Haiti and I'll train your people. We'll establish a school for you. And I'm like, what? I mean, just like that? He said, yeah. He says, and then he emailed me, he says, I'm going to Haiti in the first week of November. Will you be there? I'll come into your house. And I'm like, what? Like that? And that's one. And I was in a different place, I think in Pastor Sammy Allen. There's another doctor called Dr. Sampson. And he said, you are a missionary to Haiti? I said, yes, sir. He said, would you come to my church Wednesday? I said, okay. And I went to his church. And he said, let me speak a little bit. He says, you know what? We're going to support the brother. And then he has a a college degree program. I mean, King James. He gave them to me both in French and English. He gave me the whole curriculum. He said, brother, there you go. I mean, school, not only one school for the children, one school for the adult. And I'm saying, do you know, God is very interested. I said, God is very interested. It's amazing the way it's happening, and I have nothing to do with anything. So I'm just going to take it, carry it, but I have nothing to do with anything. You know, that's amazing. God is interested in this thing, and I believe it will be done. Amen. I believe it will be done. Continue to pray for us, because God is interested. Somehow with these poor and wicked folks, the Lord is interested in doing something else to change their lives and their country. Last week, the whole people in Port-au-Prince took the streets and rioting. I asked why. Because you have the American government that actually went there. they promoting sodomites, and the Haitians took the streets. They said, we will not accept that. And listen to this. Not only the Protestants take the streets, the Catholic take the streets, and the Voodooists take the streets. I mean, you're talking about people that practice voodoo. They said no to the sodomites. That's amazing. That's amazing. Even people that practice voodoo there, they said, no, we will not accept that. So I will beg God, I mean, if that thing can stay like that, you know, for now, because it can be a problem. It can be a problem. So we pray for America, because the intention with that is to destroy the churches. That's the way it's going. That's the intention with that. And people might think it's a little thing. No, it's not. It's something that you should take seriously. And in Haiti, I don't care if I'm in the radio or television, I always say to the people, you know, you should never accept certain principles, I mean, from America. Like, for example, don't spank your child. We don't accept that. Because God gives us the responsibility, not you. So I said, if somebody in Haiti would probably go to jail, I'd probably be the first one. Because I will not never accept that. Because God gives us a responsibility, we should take the responsibility. I said, train up a child in the way that it should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. And I got saved at the age of 28, 29. And I tell you, it was a miracle. Without father, I mean a mother that knew nothing. If it was not because of the grace of God, I would be in hell. So now, if I'm trying my best to raise my children for God, you will not tell me what to do with it. I mean, I love you love your kids. I mean, you feed them and you love them and you take care of them. And there's a time for the spanking. I mean, it should be done. I mean, that's what God says. So, let's go to Psalms 12. There's a lot to say. I mean, if you have some questions, maybe after the service, I can answer them for you. I just don't want to take all the time, even though I would love to. I was looking into this world. The message tonight is about faithful. I was looking at this word and I found, I mean, more than 50 somewhat, you know, references in the Bible. And I said, this is too much. Trying to escape. And I wrote like 46 or 47 different references. But it's just a little bit too much. But I said, okay, let's look into the dictionary now about faithful. And we see it means like believer and friend and lover and reliable and exact and confirm and supporters. You know, it means, I mean, the meaning of it. But when we go to our Psalms chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says, help, Lord, for the godly men cease, for the faithful fell from among the children of men. And they speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, and with a flattering lips and with a double heart, do they speak? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your mercy to God. Thank you for this church. Thank you for our pastor. And thank you so much, Father, for everything that you have done and us already. And we know, oh dear Father, we have confidence and you will continue until the day that you sound the trumpet and to get us out of this place. Thank you. Bless us tonight with your presence. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And the psalmist actually is looking into the generation where he's living. And he says, you know what, God, we do have a problem. I mean, we have a mess here. Please help. It seems like he says, for the godly men ceased. It seems like a company that used to make certain parts, they don't make it anymore. And they cease to make it. They stop making it. I mean, you're still using it, but they don't make, you know, brand new ones. So he says, you know what, the godly men ceased. For the faithful fell from among the children of men. The second verse says, they speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor, and with a flattering lips, and with a double heart, do they speak. It seems like you cannot have a good church and not having faithful people. I mean, to be able to help in the ministry. I mean, even in the government, you need faithful people to establish a government. You cannot do anything without faithful folks. So now, the psalm is saying, God help, because we do have a problem, because when they're in front of us, they say, yes, they are King James. When they're in front of us, they say, yes, they believe in God. But when they are around, I mean, somewhere else, it's a different person. It's a different person. In the same chapter, when you go to verse 6 and 7, we usually quote to help us when we're trying to prove to somebody about the King James. It says, the words of the Lord are pure words, a silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So, somebody says, you know what? God, there's something incredible here. You're going to have to preserve your words, because I see the intention of the people. They will get rid of it. They will get rid of it if you don't keep them, if you don't preserve them from us. You're going to preserve your word for us, but from us. I mean, that the generation to come might get them, because there's going to be a time we will not find it. Nobody will find it. Because I see their intentions. I see their intentions. If you don't preserve your word for us from this generation and forever, there's going to be a time you can forget about it. It will not be done. So now, when we're talking about our faithfulness, and I think it's Revelation chapter 17:14, and it says, they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful, and the faithful one will always do more in the ministry. But now, when we're talking about the three types of ground, the seeds fall into the stony ground and among thorns and the good ground, the seeds that actually fall into the good ground, these are the seeds that actually produce 100-fold and 60-fold and 30-fold. But now, a mango tree can produce thousands and even millions and millions before, you know, that thing dies. It might take more than 20, more than 30 years. But if you're talking about a banana tree, that's a different situation. When the tree gives you the banana, the fruit, you have to cut it down, because that's what God allowed it to do. It's faithful, but that's the only thing you're going to get. I mean, from the roots, you might find another one just springing up. But the very one that actually gives you the fruit, after that, you will have to cut it down. It's not like it's not faithful, but that's what God allowed it to be done. And that's it. So, the ones that are unfaithful are on the good seeds. I mean, the seeds that fall into the good ground, they produce 100-fold and 60-fold and 30-fold. And Paul says in 2 Timothy 2, I think, chapter 2, verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, they are the same, commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. I mean, you will never have anything done if, you know, the guys are not faithful. You will never have it done. And I thank God, I knew, when I went to Haiti, I mean, the Lord was going to bless me with faithful men, but I tell you, it was hard because I couldn't find them. I mean, we found a bunch of folks, but they were not helping us at all. Finally, I thank God I found a couple of guys, like Moise and Jonel. I mean, when I found Jonel, and I said, Lord, please, if you're going to take this guy, take me with him, because I don't want to live without this guy. Because I've never seen anybody like that. And even more faithful than Moise. I've never seen anybody like Jonel. And I said, Lord, thank you. Finally, you blessed me with this guy. He's the one responsible for the church in Port-au-Prince. Even though Moise is preaching tonight. But I said, Lord, please, thank you so much. But we need more than him. We need more than that. Because we plan to have 10 churches in the country. So, I mean, that's just for the start. And we thank God for that. But if we're talking about our faithfulness, faithfulness had to do with service. Like Luke chapter 16, verse 11. And Luke chapter 16, verse 11, 12. It says in verse 11, if therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who shall commit to your trust the true riches? So, and if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? I mean, that's a simple thing of faithfulness. So, you have to be faithful in the unrighteous mammon. I mean, unrighteous mammon. That means you're working somewhere in a place, or you go to school, whatever, you have to be faithful there. Like if you're responsible or money, whatsoever that might be, you have to be faithful there. Because God says, if you're not faithful there, I mean, and that, so who's going to give you your own? I mean, you work for somebody, you have to prove your faithfulness there. If you cannot prove your faithfulness there, I mean, don't think, I mean, God is going to give you great things to do. You know, the funny thing, I do have a problem, like Pastor Vich was talking about time. I remember when I used to play in a jazz band, they gave me more money than the other guys because I was always the first one to be there. And the Haitians sometimes, I mean, you know, try to trouble me saying, listen, you're not in America now, you're in Haiti. Just, you know, act like the Haitian people. I said, no way, never. Because, it doesn't, you know, I don't believe in that. When I was not saved, they gave me more money because I was the first one in the nightclubs. So that's just the way it is. I don't like it. I don't appreciate it. I have to be there. They give me more money just because of that. So now I'm saved and serving God. I mean, I need to keep, I mean, the same principles even more seriously. So that's just the way it is. When we're talking about faithfulness, for example, we used to have like Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and Friday night services. But on Friday night, we closed that because the people refused to come. So now, we had some ladies in the church that wanted to go after some jobs and after some visa to come to America. They said, preacher, could we open up Friday night? I said, guys, if you want, I can give it to you, but I know you're going to close it again. And they said, no, we will not do that. I mean, after 2 months, they closed it again. But between that 2 months, they actually got their visas and they actually got their jobs. You know, they came into the prayer because they used your faithfulness or your closeness with the Lord Jesus Christ to pray for them that they can get what they need. And after that, they just drop it out. They just drop out. That's just the way it is. It's sad. And I said, didn't I tell you, you are not going to last long? You're going to close it? So I knew they were going to do that. Because I see the people. It's amazing. Like, for example, I remember Pastor Sylvester that went to Ohio and prayed for a house that the Lord would give him a place. And the Lord gave him a place with a living room that he could have a church. But finally, they bought a building, but the same place that he used to use for a church, he's still using the same place, I mean, for the missionaries and the evangelists. So nothing has changed because you said to the Lord, this is what you are going to do with it. And you need to do exactly that. I mean, we shouldn't change unless God tells you to do something else with it. I mean, that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. The friendly, familiar frame of life that's around the faithful, I mean, is based on a certain way, I mean, to destabilize him, I mean, to make him stumble. If he's not careful. I mean, the Bible explained that to us in Titus, I think chapter 3, verse 8. The Bible explained that to us. If we're not careful, as faithful people, I mean, we will get into trouble. Titus 3:8 says, this is a faithful saying. I mean, faithful saying in what sense? In the sense of Isaiah 55:11. In the sense that the Bible says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. The Bible says, but it shall accomplish. It shall accomplish that which I please. You know, it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. So the verse says, this is a faithful saying. If we obey the word of God, we get blessed. If we don't, we get into trouble. We said, it's not the Lord. I mean, God pronounced the word, and we as Christians need to obey. If not, we find ourselves into trouble. He says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou art firm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful. They which have believed in God might be careful. I mean, Christians need to be careful. To maintain good works. So now, we can do good works, but the maintaining part is so important because we cannot live on the past glory. So we cannot live on the past glory. Like, I mean, last year I was a good Christian, but this year, forget it. I'm a mess. So last year I did something for God, but I'm not interested anymore this year. So what you would call maintenance, Asia doesn't have this word in their vocabulary. So that's why if they build something, that thing has to just stay until it gets destroyed. Nobody will check it to see if it's going to maintain. They don't have this word maintenance. And the Bible says, "Me and you, which I believe in God, we need to be careful to maintain good works." So the maintaining process, the Bible says these things are good and profitable unto man. So if we need to be continue to get blessed, we need to continue to get the closeness with the Lord, we need to maintain that with God. We need to maintain that with God. And Christianity is a purging religion. That's just the way it is. It always takes the refinery of the Holy Spirit. I mean, for one, to continuing the doing of the will of God. And to be sealed to the carefulness of maintaining it. Because we need to maintain that. So, for example, I mean, I don't want to jump ahead of my message here. Let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. Verse 21. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 21. It says, "How is the faithful city become an harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness large in it, but now murderers." I mean, that's sad. That's sad. I mean, the Bible says this city was so faithful, but what happened to it now? I mean, in that city, if they will judge you, you're right. I mean, you're wrong. But now, I was reading that and I was thinking about Haiti. Haiti, there's no such thing as you're wrong or you're right. If you know somebody in the palace, in the president's palace, you're always right. I mean, a guy just shoots somebody in the streets and kill him. And the mayor just took him and put him into prison. And the mayor said, you know what, he's going to stay there. He's going to rot there. And the president, you know, have the people get rid of the mayor. That he could, get, you know, just free the guy. That's just the way it is. I mean, there's no such thing as you're right. I mean, if somebody was trying to steal... for example, you have electricity here. The people come and they connected the lines and they just stretched that thing to their house. And finally, they saw that. The judge saw that and they arrested the guy, put him in prison. And the judge actually run quickly to free him because he's going to lose his job tomorrow. That's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. There's no such thing as judgment. So if you know somebody, so you can kill people and steal and, you know, do whatsoever you want, so you'll be free. That's it. That's it. But I don't know for America. I mean, now, even if you had some cities that are like faithful here, but I'm telling you, it's hard now. The speed is going. I don't think you have one left. I don't think we have one left here too, also in America. So that's a sad situation. And now, you see, they're talking about guns, but it's not gone. It's really not gone. They're trying to kick God out of the country, and God just backed up and let the devil get in. And that's just the way it is. And the funny thing, I don't know if you guys believe, I mean, all your constitutionalists were Christians or not, but if you read the whole thing, you see that these guys, they probably created the best constitution, but they were not filled with the Spirit of the Lord. I don't care if they were Christians, but they were not filled with the Spirit of the Lord. Because the problem is, you heard about, you know, the priority. You know, top priority. Top priority is a bunch of crimes or whatsoever they are. So that thing should have been top priority. Nobody in America could call somebody in a court of law for the name of Jesus Christ. Because that's the name that built up this country. That's the name that do everything here. So now... this name that has blessed us so much, and in this same country, somebody can call me into the court of law. I mean, for this name, that's amazing. It should have been prioritized. That as long as America live in this country, nobody would ever, I mean, curse me or call me to the court of law for the name of Jesus Christ. Something went wrong somewhere. We had a couple of missionaries that come to Haiti. Coming from the King James churches, one graduated from Dr. Wackman. And when these guys come, they said, you know what, preacher, don't even bother with the King James because leave that thing for America. So we are in Haiti now. Just don't bother with that. I never said anything, But once I heard that, and I said, these men are selling themselves up for falling. And Dave, and I never heard of one, but the other one is sitting in the pastor Pentecostal church now without a King James. Yep, I mean, that's just the way it is. And there's a way that you take, you will fall. There's no doubt about it. Definitely you will fall, because that's what you choose. And these guys are adult, and they know exactly what they were doing. So they set themselves up for a fall. In Luke chapter 16, we were there before. In Luke chapter 16, verse 10, the Bible says, in Luke 16, verse 10, it says, "And he that is faithful and that which is least is faithful also and much. And he that is unjust and the least is unjust also and much." So now, it's not hard to do. The Bible says, if you're faithful in that which is least, that's the same practice to just faithful in that which is much. Because it will take the same practice, the same conduct, the same attitude, the same faith, just with a larger, you know, set of plan. But that's the same thing, to be faithful in the least. But some folks think that they could hide from God. They played faithfulness so well. So, and the part which is least, and you promote them in the part which is much. And then they make a mess out of it. Because they thought they could hide from God. I mean, we are faithful in the part which is least. And the Bible says that's the same practice, same faith, and same attitude, same everything. I mean, same closeness with the Lord. And you get promoted with a larger plan. But that's exactly the same thing. So people may think that it's something different. No, it's not different. It's the same exact thing. And the Bible says it is a requirement in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. It is a requirement in the ministry, in the ministerial life, that the steward should be found faithful. It is a requirement. I mean, Christians should be found faithful. I mean, especially in the very little time that we have left, if we're not faithful, we're going to be into big trouble. We're going to be into big trouble. Like, for example, and because of it, the Bible says, you will be preserved. There's certain things you don't have to worry about. I can read the verse quick to you, like Psalms 31. Psalms 31, verse 23. Psalms 31, verse 23, it reads like this. O love the Lord, all ye his saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful. See, I mean, God will preserve you. There's certain things you don't have to worry about. If you're faithful to the Lord, God will preserve you. So the Bible says in Psalms 23, O love the Lord, all ye saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful. And when you go to Daniel chapter 6, verse 4, and the Bible says, because he was faithful, I mean, they tried so hard to try to destroy him, they couldn't. Daniel 6, verse 4, it says, then the president and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion or no fault, for as much as he was faithful. I mean, there's certain things you don't even have to worry about if you will be faithful to the Lord. The Bible says God will take care of that. And that's it. And the Bible says, you will be abound with blessings. In Proverbs 28, I think verse 20, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. You said, but I didn't have anything. Yeah, you try to be faithful, God will bless you. And you stay faithful, you will get more blessing. And that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. God will continue to bless you. And Proverbs 24:16 says, for a just man falleth seven times and rises up again. But now, there's a difference. A just man, like a saved man, can fall seven times and rise up again. But a faithful man doesn't have to fall at all. A faithful man doesn't have to fall. You know, the funny thing, every time one person, I mean, a faithful person, a faithful Christian is falling, now, 1 hour can destroy a 15 years testimony. 1 hour. I mean, 30 minutes can destroy your testimony that you take 20 years to build. Amen. And now, even though you might ask God forgiveness, he might forgive you. But I tell you, you're going to have a hard time with the rest of the people. Because men don't forgive you that easy. Even though God forgives you. So now that's what people fail to understand. So, okay, the Bible says, you know, for seven times or as we get. For example, I can read this verse and show you something. In that very verse, I think Proverbs 24, 16, if I can find it quick. Proverbs 24, 16. It says, Proverbs 24, 16. But let's start in the 15, verse 15. It says, lay not wait. Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. You see, something, a bad dude is laying something for you. So that you can fall. It says, lay not wait, O wicked man. The God is telling you, hey, back off, because this is what you're trying to get the Christians to fall. You see, it says, spoil not his resting place, for a just man falleth seven times and rises up again. So now, the fall has to do with somebody else actually trying to pull you down. But regardless if they actually ended up, you know, having you fall, God will try to raise you back up. But now, a faithful man doesn't have to fall at all. And that's different. That's different. Let's go to Psalms 56. I'll show you the verses. Psalms 56. Psalm 56 and then Psalms 116. Psalms 56 verse 13. And then Psalms 116 verse 8. Okay, Psalms 56 verse 13. Look at that. Is it, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. I mean, God already done that for him. Will not thou deliver my soul from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? He says, God, you have delivered me from death. I mean, in the battle, in the midst of the sword. So now, please, could you do that for me too? What? Could you deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk in the light of the living? I mean, walk before God in the light in the living. So the Christians, I mean, the faithful man needs to be continue to walk in the light of the living. God is able to do it. God, I mean, he's asking God right there. So God, I mean, you do this for me, but could you do that also for me? So now, when you go to Psalms 116, God actually did it for him. Psalms 116, look at that. Verse 8. Look at verse 8. Psalms 116, verse 8. God actually did it for him. It says, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, it is done. Mine eyes from tears, it is done. And my feet from falling, it is done. God has done it. So we don't have to keep falling. Falling for, I mean, for what? For what? I was a jazz band musician for a long time. Sometimes I thought, you know, how I made it for, you know, all the way up to 28 years without Christ. I cannot figure out how this thing happened. How I made it for 28 years in this life without God. That's a sad story. That I know that I should have been in hell a long time ago. I mean, how my mother made it for 74 years before she got saved. It's amazing. There's a verse in Jeremiah 17:9 that says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And I agree. And I said, I mean, this verse, I mean, just give it to me and I thank God for it. But there's another verse that delivered me from that I really love and appreciate God for it. 1 John, I think, 3, verse 20. It says, for if our heart condemns us, because sometimes it does, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. Regardless, if I get up this morning, I don't feel like I'm a Christian. I am still a Christian. Regardless, if the devil tells you, you know what? I mean, you're not what you think you are. And I say, you know what? You are a liar. Because God give us comfort all the time through the scriptures. So the Bible says, God is greater than my heart. Even when my heart condemns me, I can still live right for God. whatsoever the devil may whisper in my ears. Let me show you another verse. Proverbs 20, verse 6. Proverbs 20, verse 6. I'm trying to hurry up. Proverbs 20, verse 6. It says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. But a faithful man, who can find? It's amazing. I mean, the Bible says, I mean, I can be saying, you know, you are good Christians, and you can be saying, I am a good Christian. But the Bible says, are we faithful? I mean, who can find a faithful man? I mean, are we faithful to the cause of Christ? I mean, is there no cause, I mean, for us to just stay faithful? I mean, for God to be able to do something? I mean, the work of His grace to be done through us, the way that He so chose to do it. So the Bible says, in this verse we just read, but who can find a faithful man? You might be walking the streets from New York all the way to Delaware before you could find 10 faithful men. Because it's rare. When you actually find one, I mean, you just say, God, please give me this one. Because I would not want to be in a ministry without this one. Because we need help. We cannot do it alone. And I thank God for that. I mean, there's a few verses about that, but I'll just skip that for now. We're not going to read that. In Luke chapter 14, I think verse 21 to 23. God is talking to his servant. And he says, you know what, I invited a lot of folks, I mean, to this great supper, so now go get them. So he went, and they all had excuses that they didn't want to come. And now, the Lord says to the same servant, you know, now, go out quickly. I mean, go out quickly? God is in the hurry. So, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. So now, when he brought them back. He brought them back the second time. And then he said, you know what? There's room. Because he said that, the Lord says, now you go out again. So he said, why God is kept sending the same men? Because he's a faithful one. I mean, he might be tired, but he is a faithful one. The job will be done. I mean, he's not, you know, he's not like any Christians. He's a faithful one. So send him. Again, and again, and again, and again, it will be done. Now, we have another great thing in chapter 19, Luke, verse 11 to 26. You have like 10 servants and 10 pounds. So, 10 servants and 10 pounds. Now, each servant got a pound. So now, if you read it carefully, you can read it tonight when you go home. Luke 19, verse 11 to verse 26. When you get home, you can read. So now, each servant got a pound. Now, when the Lord come back, the Lord says, you know, the Lord called them. The first one actually gained 10 pounds. So now, the Lord rewarded him. And the second one actually gained 5. The Lord rewarded him. But now we have 8 more. So, the Bible never talk about the rest. What happened? And if you read it, and the verses I just tell you, you're going to see it says, another one. What do you mean another one? It's supposed to be the third one, the fourth one, the fifth one. I mean, another one. The way that I look at it, we have 8 left. So now, these 8 servants put themselves together. They said, you know what? They are wicked servants. And they said they're going to insult God in his face. So now, the one that is more bold, they choose him as the speaker. So he's the other one. So that goes in the Lord's face and to insult him and saying, you are a hard man. See, you want to reap that you did not sow. I mean, what? And you never heard about the other ones while God called all of 10 of them. So now, I mean, Christians need to be very different. So, the other one has the same exact possibility and capacity that we have. And God knew our capacity because he gave us, you know, the capacities. So, if we are hunger to be filled with the Spirit of the Lord, God can do it. It's not us that can do it. But it depends on if you are thirsty enough or if you are hungry enough. So sometimes you see a brand new Christian come to the church. I mean, he or she does better than somebody that's been there for 10 years. It's amazing to see that, but it happens. It happens because they're just like so starving, they want God. And because they're just so starving, God really worked through them and with them. And they are able to do things that others are not able to do, not because they have a greater talent, but because they are thirsty more. They're really seeking for God. And it makes a big difference in their lives. But if the reminder of Christianity, I mean, will not be faithful for the rest of the cause, I mean, we are already in the bad shape, so it will end pretty bad. So we thank God in this illustration that I just told you in chapter 19. This has to do with church age. Usually the pastor said it's 10% in the church that actually do most of the work. But in the very examples that I just told you, it's 20%. It's 20% two, you know, and 10, two. So now, it is a great thing to find a church that's doing 30% or 40%. And I believe that we can still do it. So I preach in a lot of churches, in deputation. But I tell you, you do have a rare church here. And the Lord will continue to bless you because you make the efforts. So I pray that you continue. Because just like the Bible says, we need to maintain what we started. And that for the Lord to continue to bless you and to continue to show you what needs to be done. It doesn't matter if the whole world is just sleeping. There might be one church or two churches that will never sleep. So God can continue to bless you. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your mercy to God. Thank you so much for your truth. Thank you so much for your Holy Spirit.